We've been going through the Gospel of John, and we finished it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But if you remember, Mark, sorry, I'm in John. I'm going to John today. It's one fault of a great mind. Don't hold it against me. Through the Gospel of Mark. And Mark says nothing about the Christmas story. Matthew and Luke, they tell the Christmas story. But it's John who actually gives us the meaning of the Christmas story. If you want to know the details of the birth and the Mary and the place, you go to the other Gospels. But to get the meaning of Christmas, John's Gospel is the best. But this morning I'm in 1 John, and it's very similar words to the very beginning of the Gospel of John, but I just want to use 1 John as my text this morning. And I close my Bible. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1 to, I'm getting there. I got that large print Bible. Takes a lot of pages to get over to 1 John. I'm used to my NIV Bible and just kind of go, but when you got one word on each page, it takes a lot of pages. Nah, you think you're so smart, all you young guys. You wait, the day is coming. It's the dim lights. Yeah, you guys can read it probably from there. 1 John, leave me alone and let me preach this morning. What's wrong with you guys? 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I'm just going to go to verse 4. Thank you for putting it up there, Mr. Music Man. Appreciate the sound and the AV guys over there. Here's what John says about Christmas. He's explaining the meaning of it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and I have written a note in there, involuntary, that's just, they just heard and saw with our eyes, which we looked upon and which we touched with our hands. Those were voluntary. This is getting a little deeper. First of all, they just heard and saw, but then he says, we beheld, we looked upon, we gazed upon, and we felt with our hands. He's getting real now. He's making a deposition of someone who said, this was like he was before a court, and he's explaining why he believes what he believes and why and what it means for him. And he says, that which we touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was from the Father and was made manifest to us, made known to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. That's God's meaning. That's John explaining the meaning of Christmas, more than the details of the birth. But he lays it out for us, and I just want to follow through those verses, and that will be my message this morning. If you ask people all over the world, what's the meaning of Christmas? Some it means nothing. We lived in parts of the world where Christmas kind of could come and go and nobody would notice the season, or the weather didn't change, or there wasn't much production going on in malls and stores and so on. And you had to find the meaning of Christmas in the real meaning of Christmas. So here, let's get started. John says, first of all, it means salvation. It means a gift. It's a gift from God. And if you want theological terms, Christmas, one of the meanings of Christmas is grace. If you think about God giving His Son to us, that's Christmas. That's the meaning of it. That's the point of it. He didn't give us a theology. He didn't give us a lesson. He didn't give us a teaching. He didn't give us a way. He said, I am the way. Not just He is it or gives it, but He is the life. He is the life. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the gift, is what I'm trying to say. He is God come to save us. When we say doctrine doesn't matter, it does matter. You know, it's more about how you live. Well, it's not just about how you live. It's about a doctrine. It's about knowing the truth. And 1 John, he lays out very clearly that we need to know the truth, we need to obey the truth, and then we need to walk in the truth. We need to live in that. And so he's making it clear that the meaning for him matters. It's Jesus. It's not just a nice story. He said, we heard, we saw, we gazed upon, we were amazed with, and we touched and we held with our hands. It was a person. The message of Christmas is not just peace on earth. The message of Christmas is a person, Jesus. And I'm going to beat on that for a little bit. It's a gift. It's not certain things we do, as other religions might say. It's not a set of rules or a set of instructions. It's not something we talk. It's a person. And he came as a gift from God. God so loved this world, he gave his only son. We'll touch on that later. But when you think of the meaning of Christmas, you have to think of a person. It's Jesus. John chapter 1, if we would go back to the Gospel of John, and I have it written down, you can go there, in chapter 1, verse 12, but he says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Those who received the gift of Jesus, he gave the right to become the children of God. So it's something we receive, and I don't want to beat this point to death, but Christmas is about receiving Jesus. It's not just a good feeling time. It's not just a time to share love and to share good things. It is. But why? It's because of the gift of Jesus. What God did when he sent his son. I don't even know what to illustrate it with. There's nothing big enough. Maybe it's a newborn baby. Maybe it's hearing you're pregnant for the first time. Or I can remember when we adopted and we got that certificate from the court. And it's laid out in there that as of now, his name shall be, and it's our name, and as though born of you, whatever. It's like, what is the most exciting gift that you've ever given? You know, I had this picture in my mind, I'd have an envelope this morning. I didn't do it, so just relax. With $1,000 in it. And then I would say, who'd like a gift this morning? And anybody that responded, I'd give them the $1,000. But they would have to open it in front. I'm just illustrating it. And you'd have to open that envelope up, and hopefully it would be, whoa, I didn't expect that. Maybe from Russell, but not from me. And you would be like, that's unbelievable. I don't know what to compare this gift that Jesus is to us with. I don't know how to make it more. We sang the Christmas carols. We sang of Emmanuel, God come, God's son come. Never lose that. Never forget that. It's not in changing a lifestyle. It's not, we do that. It's not in practicing good things. Thank God we do that. But Christmas is Jesus and receiving him, who he is, the God come in the flesh, come to redeem us, come to save us, Emmanuel. And that becomes real in your heart and in your spirit and in your life, and it changes who you are. Can I just use a missions example? You know, the new terms people throw around these days, we must preach a holistic gospel. And that's true, but the way when we use the term holistic, it's been tainted a bit, it's been warped. Because for many people's minds, when they say a holistic gospel, that means we got to do some good deeds, and it does, but it's kind of overrun. The real message, the holistic gospel for some is we take some clothes, use clothes, we help people, we hand out a few sandwiches down on Skid Row, we do some good things, and none of that is wrong. But I want to tell you something. Evangelism, at its core, is holistic. It changes our whole life. You preach Jesus, someone receives Jesus, it changes their whole life forever. Yeah, and then they may give out some sandwiches, and they may, and thank God for kindness. Thank God we had the hampers over here, those who are a blessing, and may we do much more. And I thank God for a generous church that helps people. But the greatest gift you can give anybody is Jesus. And to share to the truth of who he is. And when he comes into your life, and when you receive that, and you have that right to become a child of God, born again, love because he first loved us. then you've gotten Christmas. And some of us need to be reminded to go back to that first days of when we received Jesus. We didn't even know what the rules were. You know, we had gone to Catholic Church our whole life on Christmas and Easter and a few things, and we knew a few of the rituals. But I can still remember when the love of God came to my life for the first time, and I received Jesus. I met Jesus, not a church, not a doctrine, not some teaching, not a pastor. I met Jesus, and he came in my life, changed me forever. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. This first, John says, we beheld the word of life. Him, he's it. He didn't tell us about it. He didn't show us a way. He's it. He's the way. And so you, if you have never met Jesus, if you have never received him as a gift in your life, the reality of knowing him as a Savior in your life, then today is a good day to do that. Today is a good day to meet him and let him come and live inside of us. Take up residence within us. Amen? So when you say, what's the meaning of Christmas? It has to be Jesus. And this world is getting confused about what it means. And I just want to, like, if anybody, any group of people has to know this, it's us. And we can do some good things, and we can give some gifts, and we can be a kind group of people. But if you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you do not understand what John is saying here, the word of life, the life has made known to us, and we have seen it and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made known to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim. That's what we proclaim. Jesus. He came into my life, and I've shared our testimony, and I shared my sister Irene, who's led us to the Lord, standing on a bridge on Christmas Eve, high-level bridge, contemplating the purpose of life, thinking about suicide, thinking about hopelessness, and deciding that night, Christmas Eve, I'm going to go to church. And God, I could talk all day about it, how God broke into our family. That year, five of us kids gave our life to Jesus. We met Jesus. We met Jesus. We didn't just go to a church. We didn't just get a Bible. We got all those things. But we met Jesus, and he saved us. And he became real, and he lived in us by his Holy Spirit, and he does. That's what I'm trying to say. That was John's message. John is the beloved apostle. He's the apostle of love. He all his gospel and all his letters, that he just keeps reading and speaking that. Brad read in chapter 4 about it. And we love because he first loved us. I know I've spoken too long on it. When my iPad goes blank, that's my signal. Move along. So he says, it's a gift. The meaning of Christmas is grace. If you believe in Christmas, you believe in the grace of God. It's not works. It's grace. It's his goodness. He came and gave his son for you and me. It means we have fellowship with God. John goes on, he said, that which we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Christmas means fellowship. It's not just enough to know about God. Just knowing about God will kill you. Rules about God, information about God, it gets heavy. But when you understand God and you relate to him and you have fellowship with him, it changes everything. It changes the home. It changes the church. It changes your life. It changes your everything. You have fellowship with God. He's not a concept. He's not a force. He's not a higher power. We relate to him and we have fellowship with him. Back in John's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 14, you can go back there again if you want, but it says, became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That's the modern translation, but he lived among us. That's the message of Christmas. God came as Emmanuel and lived with us. He moved into the neighborhood. He became one of us so we could relate with him. And I like the example, I stole it from someone, but if you're trying to look at the sun, you can't look at the sun without burning your retinas out. You need a filter, you need something to protect you to look. And Jesus is that one. Hark the herald angels sing, you know. Hail the incarnate deity, veiled in flesh, for us to see. The only way we could see God, the only way we could relate to God, the only way we could have this connection with God was for him to come as a man, to lay down his glory, to come and live among us and move into the neighborhood so we could have a relationship with God. How's your relationship with God? Is it real? Is it personal? Is it growing? Is it sweet? Is it something that changes your life? Is your relationship with God something that you hold on to and something that helps you? It's not just about going to church. It's not just about singing some songs. It's about having a relationship with God. And sometimes worship will lead us closer to that. Sometimes it's more reflective. Sometimes it's praise and we're just shouting about him. But sometimes it leads to a place of worship where we connect with him. We need to grow that relationship. Amen? Think of it this way. Think how much God did to relate to you. What he did to relate to us. Leaving heaven, laying aside his glory, taking on form of man, the cross, all the whole message, what God did to relate with you and me. We shouldn't take it for granted. We should do whatever it takes to relate to him. And you know, it sounds heavy, but the deepest relationships we can have is from our spirit, from our hearts, seeking him and him ministering and speaking to us and relating to us and connecting to us. And God wants that relationship with us. That's why he came. God came near us. He says so that we can have fellowship with him and with one another. So here's the point. God wants to have fellowship with us. God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to have a relationship with each other. Church. Don't take it lightly. The importance of our personal relationship with him. We can have fellowship with him. What that means. And fellowship with one another. And, again, it comes back to think, people say, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe in. Brad already said it this morning. You know, as long as you're kind and, you do some good. No, it matters. It matters what you think about Jesus completely, who he is. He's not just a good guy. He's a savior. He's God's gift to us. It matters that we have fellowship with him, and it's a growing relationship with God every day. Walking in relationship with God. How is my relationship with him? And, you know, there's times when you feel God is far away. Well, who moved? Wasn't God. God, how come I feel so distant? I don't know. If I'm God, I'm answering, I have gone nowhere. You remember the old joke about the old couple driving in the car, and she says, honey, remember when we used to drive and we'd sit so close together, and it was so sweet, and the old man, well, I'm still driving. Come on over. I know in new modern-day bucket seat cars, it's not as fun as it used to be. We used to have couches to sit on in our day. And when you moved one seat forward, the whole bench went forward. God says, come. I'm gone nowhere. Everything I have, all the heaven, all the relationship, all the fellowship you desire, I'm here. Have it. Enjoy it. It's ours. That's what he did at Christmas. If you believe in Christmas, then you've got to believe in church, fellowship with one another, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And then 1 John, we didn't read it this morning, but he puts a bit of a condition on it. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship and we walk close together because we have fellowship with the Father. That's what brings us together. That's what gives us this closeness, this family, the idea that we can actually care for one another truly and help one another. It's because we have fellowship with God. And that's the promise of Christmas. Another one is His love. I'm going to quickly. You cannot talk about what Jesus did. And I think in the prayer room is what we prayed the most about, was the love of God for us. For God so loved the world. Amen? Do you believe God loves you? Do you live in the place of God's favor on your life? If you don't, remember Christmas. Remember what God did when He sent His Son. Remember what it cost Him. This next one is, well, I could talk about His love all morning. I've already said it. The greatest thing you can do for someone is share Jesus. The greatest act of love for someone is to tell them about Christ. And if I go back to a mission story, guys used to say, well, you know, nobody will forget how it used to go, but empty stomachs have no ears and so on. So until you show, no, it's actually the opposite. Empty stomachs have ears. People who are in need actually listen. People who are full and fed, they're the hard ones to get the gospel to. But the greatest gift you can give someone is the love of God, Jesus. Come manifest and live and walk and be part of their life. And we have to live that out. We have to show them. We have to be examples of that, yes. But until that becomes real in someone's heart, they haven't got Christmas. And the last thing is joy. And it's right here in the text, and he says, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. Joy. One of my favorite topics. It's just like patience. It's right up there. But I have to, you know, if we only speak about the things that we're really good at, we wouldn't preach anything. We'd never speak on marriage. We'd never speak on forgiveness. We'd never speak, you know. So joy. Just imagine Russell standing here. Joy. So that your joy can be full. That's the meaning of Christmas. Joy. That's a tough one. And again, I heard it illustrated this way. And, you know, under our house here, and we live on Rabbit Hill Road over here, there is a really high water table, water level. I don't know, they built our homes on swamps or what. But all the homes in that area have these pumps, and they run all year round. Ours does. And I used to think it was running in from the weeping tile and from the side. And so I had doing this whole big thing down there and trying to re-plumb it and do whatever. And as I'm emptying and waiting and looking, trying to figure out where all this water's coming from, it's just coming up. That's the water level under our house. Fills that tank continuously, and then it's pumped out. It's a crazy system. But there is a point to what I'm saying, is that our house, without a humidifier on our furnace or anything, is always humid. That high water table level under our house just keeps our house at about 50%, whatever the proper term is, of humidity. And, you know, our windows will steam up. If we used to run our humidifier and windows, it's like, we got no windows or what? Like back on the farm when we had single pane glass, we didn't have as much frost. And so, but I learned the long, hard way. That's because of this underground river, water level under our house continuously. Our house is, especially down the basement, it's cool all the time, but it's also humidified. Our house is humidified. And that's the best illustration I can give you of joy. It's this high water level of knowing God, of His presence, of this cool, fresh, flowing river that flows through our life. Amen? And as Christians, there's this high water level that it's hard to explain to people. I meet young Christians, I meet old Christians, I meet people going through battles. It doesn't mean that we don't face hard things. If we'd start down the rows right here in this church of marriage, of health, of finance, of situations, family, struggle, battle, court, I don't know, health, hospitals, there's families with people in hospitals right now as I'm speaking. There's all kinds, we have all of these things, financial wrestles. But underneath our life, John says there's this high water level of joy flowing under us that keeps our lives humidified, keeps our lives different from the neighbors around. And it's there. It's not something we work up. It's not something we try to make happen and try to make ourselves look like Russell. Sorry, Russ. I don't know. Herman's not here, so it's like... Some of you could use a little humidity today as I look at you this morning. If you believe in the gospel message, if you believe in the Christmas message of Jesus, God sending His Son, all that Jesus did for us, we can now have fellowship with the Father. We can now know God personally. We can have our sins forgiven. We can live a life that's different from any other life that we had. We are still in this world, but we are not of it. We have a hope and a future. We have something that runs through our veins that no one else has. Then we have joy in our life. And it sustains us. And I've said it 1,000 times as if I said it once. I love when I see senior Christians who have kept a sweetness in their life. And Lori's praying for me every day for that. As there's something, men, listen to me, as we get older, I don't see men getting sweeter and happier. I see us getting more serious and more stoic and more negative. God, deliver us. What we need is that sweet river to flow through our lives, reminding us again and again what Jesus did for us, what He means to us. And so this morning as we... This is our Christmas message. This is our Christmas morning, thinking about Jesus, thinking about what God did for us. Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you have fellowship with Him? Have you received the gift, the most precious gift of eternity, of Christmas? Have you received Him? Does He live in your life? Is He your Savior? Has He been born in your heart today? Do you have that thrill of hope? Do you have that hope in your life? Do you have the love of God in your life? Do you have the joy of God in your life? You can only answer that for yourself. I'm talking to all of us this morning as believers. As we go into this Christmas season this week and celebrate together in different ways and however you do it, and means different things to different people. But John says it's His wonderful gift, the Word of life, whom we have taken hold of, who we've touched and held and seen with our eyes. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you will see Him, that you will know Him, that you will feel His presence in your home and in your heart today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for Jesus. I thank you for the best gift that there is. I thank you this morning that you came into my life and changed me. I thank you for the gospel message that is powerful. And it's not just a dogma or a teaching, it's a person. And Jesus, this morning I pray that you would reveal yourself to each one of us. You would reveal yourself to everyone in this church. And at this time of year in this city, There's people who are crying out, Lord, I pray that you would make yourself known to them. Show them your goodness. Show them your power today. I thank you for that today. Just as we're praying and your heads are bowed and this season of the year, I'm going to ask you this morning if you're here. You say, you know, I have never received Jesus into my life. I've never confessed him as Lord and Savior of my life. And this morning I would like to do that. Would you pray for me? If that's you, I'd just like to ask you to put up your hand and let me see your hand this morning. If you're here today and you say, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I want to make him Lord of my life. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. I'm going to ask all of us this morning as well. This is trickier because we all want joy. We all want to feel that flow under our life and through our life. And you would be willing to say, pray for me this morning for the joy of what Christmas means to touch your heart this morning. Say, pray for me. Would you just put up your hand? Take it down again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, this morning I thank you for these hands. I pray, God, that there would be a sense of your Spirit coming this morning to save, to redeem, to fill. I pray, God, that Emmanuel, God with us, would be made real this morning in hearts. You would come and move into our neighborhood. You would come and live with us. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask us to stand. And those of you who lifted your hand, if you're willing, would you just come and let us pray for you this morning? Thank you. Just come. I'm going to ask a few people to come and stand with you and pray with you. And if you would like prayer for anything today, you're welcome. May God fill us with a sense of joy and sense of his presence today. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, choir.